Shalom ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the sixth day, Dalas Besivan, Tafshin, Ayin Hey, Parashas Bamidbar, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 21 May, 2015, webcasting from Island Israel, home of the most provincial Jews in 2,000 years. Let's see, last webcast, that's Tuesday night, I said, quote, Israelis must learn to understand that the creation of the State of Israel did not put an end to anti-Semitism, for anti-Semitism is independent of material causes. It is wholly psychological. Israelis have to learn that the animosity is not reality-based and therefore cannot be combated by concrete actions. The hatred has no roots in the concrete, and Israel's defense must take that into account, close quote. And then we had eventuality yesterday, the start of a three-month trial program of separate buses for Arabs in Judea and Samaria, given permission to cross the 1949 ceasefire line for work. There were numerous reasons. The practice has been for them to ride the normal Israeli buses, with the so-called settlers also commuting to and from work. In practice, this has meant, at close of day, workers crowding out Jews, and especially the women. It's an old story, among the honest, if not the politically correct, that Western women in the proximity of Arabs in the public square get groped more than they do in a Western city. And because not all Jews, like Yossi Beilon, apparently suffering from early onset Alzheimer's, they remember, the settlers do, the numerous buses in this country that have suddenly erupted in a fierce explosion, burst into flame, and the lucky have been those who die instantaneously versus those horribly and suddenly burnt and in agonizing pain screaming until they give up the ghost. In a word, being on a bus with tens of Arabs from Judea and Samaria can be frightening. It's a normal commute enjoyed by people in the civilized West. So, after pressure from settler representatives, the defense ministry devised a plan to restrict these basically foreign workers to four specific entry and exit points and provide them with their own buses. Only, what with Her Highness Queen of the Enlightened Federica Mogherini in Jerusalem to meet the Prime Minister decided this was not the time to institute such a pilot program and ordered Defense Minister Yalom to cancel it immediately, which he did by suspending the program, even in the very minutes in the Knesset, his deputy, Eli Ben-Dahan, was singing its praises, which embarrassed him because he was ignorant of the directive. And boy, did the enlightened here have a field day. Zahava Galon of the Post-Zionist Post-Jewish Merits Party quaked. This is what apartheid looks like. And her partner in that party's Tamara Zandberg squawked, racial separation is apartheid and there's no way to hide it. Yesh Atid's Ofer Shelach called the defense ministry stupid for making this decision. Israel gets international criticism, and then he cancels the program. A news report said Bibi disowned the decision to initiate that program, and it was domestic and international criticism that drove him to halt it within hours of its commencement. B'Tselem also bashed the, quote, discrimination against the Palestinians, which is a direct continuation of the conquest and settlements, close quote. Yeah, this is what I had in mind the other day. I think better planning would have not allowed for the coincidence of Mogherini's appearance and the start of the program, but once that error had been made, Bibi and Bogi, I think, made the wrong choice. They took a decision to do something concrete as a remedy. Instead of pushing back with all their rhetorical might and belief, saying, this new transportation arrangement has absolutely nothing to do with racism and everything to do with the bloody acts of Arabs who have shown themselves to be more or less the same barbarians who brought down the World Trade Center. Homicidal Muslim maniacs, even whose allegedly most moderate leaders refuse to say that we Jews have the right to be free of their persecution. I think our leaders have to push back when enemies, foreign and domestic, shriek racism as the motive for this new program, which enables our security forces to operate more efficiently in defending us from these murdering lunatics. Racism concerns the physical appearance of people, and as such, it's a dermatological problem. Our problem, by contrast, is religious and nationalistic. When Americans hated the Japanese after December 7, 1941, it had absolutely nothing to do with the color of their skin, the shape of their eyes, the uniform blackness of their hair. The normal American reaction to Pearl Harbor had nothing to do with race. And neither does this pilot program. And anyone who uses the words racism and apartheid is an anti-Semite, an irrational Jew hater, and our leaders should say so. By backing down like this, Israel lets the enemy feel he has struck a nerve, and by this cancellation, Israel sort of admits to the apartheid-like nature of this busing program. And it's this all-too-characteristic Israeli reaction to criticism, which I attribute to the fact that our average Israeli native, like Bibi and Bogi, grows up in a holy Jewish environment until he reaches army age and finds himself in the army with a percentage of non-Jews, and not until really after the army, when he goes abroad, does he get to experience the wider world. In other words, they are the most provincial Jews in thousands of years in the matter of not really understanding a so-called and misnamed anti-Semitism, a word I would like to see retired. Judeophobia might be a better one, and for sure it would be more accurate and truthful than the mendacious Islamophobia. You know what Islamophobia is? It's denial. It's the attempt to do to non-Muslims what President Obama did after the massacre at Fort Hood. It's an attempt to make people deny the reality of their senses and their common sense, to persuade them that what they think or what they feel is wrong. Said Obama, Islam had nothing to do with Fort Hood. And by implication, anyone who thinks that it did is Islamophobic, has an irrational animus against Islam. When the head-chopping festivals on TV started some months back, Obama was there to tell you to modify your feelings and thoughts because, you know, during the Crusades, Christians also did terrible things. A moral equivalence is like multiplying two negatives and coming up with a positive result. If both sides are guilty of terrorism, Arab terrorists and Israeli soldiers of war crimes, the guilt of the Arabs, by comparison, fades. When both sides are guilty, no side is guilty. They cancel each other out. So yours truly was disheartened by the government's action yesterday. Again, just for the sake of avoiding pointless clashes with the enlightened, who yesterday shrieked apartheid and racism, it would have been better to delay until Her Majesty of Enlightened Political Science, Dr. Mogherini, was no longer in the country. But once that screwed up, the government should have pushed back at the anti-Semitic venom spewed at us. Apartheid in Israel, racism in Israel. It's the color of these Arab skin that led to this program, you know, because Israelis are racist and just can't stand the way the Arabians look physically. Arutshev also posted an item of a lone soldier on one of those buses later in the day, overwhelmingly packed with these Arabs who could easily have been overpowered by them. They could have stolen his weapon. Instead, they chose to trip him as he walked down the aisle toward the door to exit and then laughed as he fell on his face. This is what I was getting at on Tuesday. Israelis have yet to grasp that all this vile criticism cannot be done away with by placating our accusers with some kind of favorable action toward the ancient ones. Israelis seem unable to grasp that all the concern for the ancient ones, all the NGOs that serve them, has nothing to do with a sincere concern for these people and everything to do with age-old human distemper toward Jews. Used to be called Judenhass, Jew hatred, and I think should be called still Judeophobia.
Because I see the God lady, the other.
Well, speaking before of Dr. Mogherini's visit, it seems to have gone just as predicted. Lying through his teeth, the Prime Minister said he favored the two-state solution, not the one-state solution. Only the Palestinians must recognize Israel as a Jewish state. I am committed to peace, he said. Well, that's true. We're all committed to peace. All us loyal Israelis, Jews, Christians, and Muslims are committed to peace in this country. It's what I hate about Peace Now, who portray themselves as the peace camp, implying that if you don't agree with their idea of surrender, you don't want peace. More precisely, it's not that their first priority is surrender for surrender's sake. What motivates them is the terrible discomfort they would feel in the presence of Gentiles, who they fear would consider them racists if they took the side of the Israelis against the Arabs. I think it was Churchill who said a liberal is someone who cannot, in an argument, defend his own side. So Bibi continued with his tactic, as old as the Bar-Ilan speech, of pining for a Palestinian state that recognizes the state of Israel, as officially Jewish as Jordan is Muslim, when he knows this is like squaring the circle. saying two contradictory things simultaneously, which often is the heart of diplomacy. Consider today's Ynet report on the French draft resolution for the Security Council. France is going to table a text that calls for the end of peace negotiations after 18 months and the world historical birth of the state of Palestine, while at the same time including Bibi's demand that the Ancient Ones recognize Israel as a Jewish state. In other words, this French Security Council resolution aborning may not be so threatening after all. Methinks its domestic roots in France are as important as any. Namely, President François Hollande has his eye very much on the Muslims inside his country whose savage breasts he needs to soothe. Yes, he waves the flag of the glorious Palestine liberation struggle, but also that of the Star of David on Israel's flag. Let's remember, too, that it was Ambrose Bierce, the American writer about a century ago in his Devil's Dictionary, who defined diplomacy as the patriotic art of lying for your country. This French draft resolution also sounds too much like the Oslo nonsense, with its idea of having Fatah police the Hamas guys and prevent them from terror against Israel. What a delusion that was. According to Ynet, quote, the French plan determines that both sides would have to define the parameters that ensure the security of both Israel and Palestine, which would efficiently and effectively protect the borders, stop terrorism, and thwart the smuggling of arms. If so, this text is as flaky as the Oslo documents of now almost 22 years ago. Their big idea, which made sense at the time to Balin, Peres, and Rabin, was handing over Judea and Samaria to Fatah, who would stop terrorism and protect the borders of Israel, meaning not let fellow Arabs cross over to murder Jews. Once again, what comes to mind is that Einsteinian cliche, everybody keeps quoting his definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting new results. The French text will also call for, quote, a just and realistic solution to the issue of refugees. There was language almost like that in Resolution 242 of nearly half a century ago now. And, of course, the text will also call for Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel and Palestine simultaneously. And never mind, such a capital city has never existed in the annals of the human race, let alone such a partnership between two nations sharing a capital, one of whose religions requires it to oppress and humiliate the people of the other religion. And one can only wonder if the Prime Minister, in his public remarks yesterday, after talking with Mogherini, mentioned how earlier in the day, a Muslim in Jerusalem, our capital, deliberately drove his car into three Israeli policemen who were injured, but not so badly that one of them and a teammate, uninjured, were able to shoot the would-be Muslim assassin dead. One wonders if Bibi pointed out to Mogherini that there are no records of Jews deliberately driving their cars into Arabians, and this is because the two communities are so different, and why cooperation is a fantasy. Peace will come when the other side and their Jew-hating backers around the world stop trying to kill us and destroy our independence and prosperity. I want someday to see Bibi tell a foreign politician that because these people are Arabs, they want to steal all the wealth we have created, they are marauders by tradition, and because they are Muslims, they are incapable of accepting our freedom from their tyrannical culture. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. So yesterday, the Prime Minister ordered the Defense Minister to suspend a new transportation program for Jews and Arabs in Judea and Samaria. A Defense Minister who also bent over backwards in his remarks yesterday to insist that its purpose has nothing to do with anything except security. By implication, it's not racist, it's not apartheid, that was not involved. While at the same time, a protest demonstration by Arabs outside the grounds of Tel Aviv University was taking place, some of whose participants were Arab MKs, to commemorate the Nakba, which was the result of the birth of Israel. The Nakba was a catastrophe, what the word means in Arabic. So, the birth of Israel was a terrible thing, said these Arabs in the demonstration, who study at that university, and the MKs, who make a nice salary in the parliament of the State of Israel. The absurdity and irony and hypocrisy here leaves one speechless. One of the demonstrating Arab students in the Ynet report said, quote, "Recognizing the Nakba is the only way to solve the existing conflict and achieve peace in the future," close quote. Translation, Israel must confess its guilt for having been born, and defending itself against six Arab armies come to kill lots of Jews and steal their wealth. M.K. Ayman Odeh said, quote, "You can argue over all kinds of issues, but humanly speaking, you can't argue with the fact that the Palestinian people paid the heaviest price," close quote, to which I say, oh, yes, you can. A major percentage of the Arabs who ran from the fighting were migrant workers with no property, which is why it was so easy for them to run. They lost virtually nothing. And certainly when compared to the far more Jews who fled Arab lands, whose roots were often thousands of years old, those people lost real property, immovable property, homes, bank accounts, businesses, stores with their inventories, cars. What is going on here is the battle for barbarism, that is, the struggle of these Arabs to hold on to fantasies that keep them from facing the guilt of the Arabs as the guilty party. Israel's War of Independence did not begin on May 14, 1948, but 6 months earlier, on November 30, 1947, the day after the UN General Assembly voted for a Jewish state, on roughly 10% of the original Palestine Mandate map, a map created to create a jurisdiction called Palestine as a Jewish homeland. That was 25 years earlier, and during that period the British never carried out that mandate. What they did carry out was to create an Arab state on 77% of the original map, the mandate. The French also created two states, Lebanon and Syria, each with a part of classical Palestine. Still, the partition vote for a Jewish state on only 10% was rejected by the Arabs, who the next day started killing Jews big time and continued to do so for the next half year before May 14, 1948. That is when the armies of five or six Arab states invaded Israel. Israel did not invade these six Arab states, which this Arab student at Tel Aviv University simply does not figure into his moral calculus. For him, the creation of Israel was a crime against his people, and until Israel confesses its guilt and compensates its victims, there will be no peace. One wonders if Nakba Day demonstrations were a topic of discussion between Netanyahu and Mogherini yesterday, and how it's clear that even the best and the brightest of these Arab students at university remain barbarians for this sub-civilized need to transfer their own guilt onto their victims. Coincidentally, PMW, Palestinian Media Watch, reported that Fatah's official website said no peace until all the 48 refugees have returned to their homes in Israel. Again, did Bibi apprise Mogherini of this? And if so, what was her reaction? I'm not sure I want to know. Part of our problem with European 40-somethings like her is their ever-increasing distance on a daily basis, not only from World War II and 1948, but the wars of 1956 and 67 and 73. With each passing year, we're hearing in Germany, her counterparts are also rewriting the past in their heads with a narrative according to which the Allies liberated Germany from the Nazis, who did not represent the Germans at all. And not only that, the path that Germany took from the Allies was one war crime after another, so that the Germans were the Allies' victims. Don't be surprised if for the next few years, Germans come up with their own Nakba narrative, according to which they were the true victims in World War II at the hands of those criminal Allies.
אשריתם ממידרך ההולכים בתורת השם, אשריתם ממידרך ההולכים בתורת השם. דע כי על ידי התורה מתקבלים כל התפילות וכל הבקשות שאנו מבקשים. מתפללים, ואכן והחשיבות של ישראל נתעלה ונתרומם בפני כל מי שצריכים. ברוחנים בגשמי אשריתם ממידרך ההולכים בתורת השם, אשריתם ממידרך ההולכים בתורת השם. עכשיו בעוונותינו הרבים חן וחשיבות האמיתי של ישראל. ישראל נפל כי עכשיו עיקר החן והחשיבות הוא אצלם אבל על ידי התורה נתעלה החן והחשיבות של ישראל כי התורה נקראת איילת אהבים ויערתכם שמעלכם על עומדיה ועל ידי זה מתקבלים כל התפילות והבקשות אשרי תמים מידרך ההולכים בתורת השם אשרי תמים מידרך ההולכים בתורת השם
Lastly, you likely saw the eye-opening item about the Pentagon approving a $2 billion sale of arms to Israel, surely on Obama's say-so, which will include 3,000 Hellfire missiles, you know, the ones this enemy of the Jewish people in the White House embargoed last summer when we were being bombarded by his fellow Muslims, plus 750 bunker buster bombs. I imagine lots of pro-Israelites were mighty pleased by this news. Those bunker busters are needed to bomb Iran's nuclear works. But I, for one, was mostly saddened by this news, for I see in this deal, as commentators have mentioned, Obama trying to placate Israel for allowing Iran to go nuclear. And I find it saddening as an American because the message also seems to be to Israel, you go do it. Count America out when America has been warred against by Iran since 1979 and never did anything about it, which is why we are where we are today, with Obama thinking of giving them $120 billion, which they, of course, funnel in great numbers to Hezbollah and Hamas and so forth. It's America's obligation, apart from Israel, to go to war with Iran and defeat it and end its menace. This weapons deal is a sign that under Obama, this chronic liar, hell will freeze over first. I imagine he has said that he will not let Iran have a bomb even more times than he said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. I fear for the future not only of Israel, but the U.S. as a result of what this Louis Farrakhan agent has done to it. Okay, next webcast is Tuesday. On Sunday, we will recall standing at Mount Sinai over 3,300 years ago. So, Shabbat Shalom, und Chag Sameach, Eretz Yisrael.